Amen. Well, look at you. Look at this. Yes. It's so, so good not to be staring only at a camera lens. However, what's actually really cool in this Blessed Fox service is not only in person, we are live streaming, so I want to welcome the online audience as well. We couldn't be here today just for different reasons. It's exciting to have this new opportunity to gather and reach beyond our borders to others who are not able to gather with us today. So welcome you. March 15th was the last time we were able to do this. Over five months of only having online, so good to be together. Now we've learned many things. Number one, I am not a televangelist. I don't have the hair for it. I just don't. I might have a terrible skit acting. Any skin tone fans in the room? It's for kids, okay, but we've also maybe just been reminded that there's just something special and irreplaceable about the gathering of God's people. Am I right? There's just something that can't be accomplished when we're all in our living rooms. You know, we know that God is everywhere. We know that God is not limited to a building that we show up at once a week. We know all that, but we also know, even as the Bible tells us, how important it is for us to gather. And so we are so thankful to God, we're so thankful to all the people that have worked hard to make this possible for us to gather again. And I thank you for just sticking with it, being a church family, going through hard times together. This is such a wonderful thing that we have going today. Now today marks the beginning of a new season for our church. Just like we're transitioning in the next month or so from summer into fall, our church is now just in a new season. And in new seasons, what we see, if you look at kind of the physical seasons around, like especially with fall, you just see superficial, external, kind of visible differences out in the world. And we will see visible differences in our church. You can see it now. We're used to filling this room nice and full, but today we're limited to 50 of us. But you know, in front of my house is a really beautiful Japanese maple tree. And throughout the spring and the summer, it blooms beautiful, vibrant red leaves. And we love it. We love having it in our yard. And of course, in the fall, it's going to drop those leaves. And in the winter, it's going to look bare and barren. But what we all know from experience of seeing the leaves fall is that that doesn't mean the tree is dead. It doesn't mean the tree isn't growing. It doesn't mean the tree doesn't have life in it. It just means it's in a different season and different things are happening in that season. And so just because the energy isn't external and vibrant and outward doesn't mean it's now internal. Something is going deep. The roots are growing. They're strengthening. Something else is happening in the life of that tree that wasn't happening in the spring and the summer. So similarly, what we do as a church is going to look superficially different on the outside. But guess what? At the core, everything's the same. At the core, we still serve the risen Jesus. At the core, the tomb is still empty. At the core, we still have the same mission. We still have the same vision to see lives transformed. We still have the same purpose together. We still have the same family. We still have the same Holy Spirit filling us. At the core, everything is the same, even though in this new season, things might look a little different on the outside. Now, one of the great opportunities gardeners have in the fall and winter is to prune the tree. And the Bible talks about God being a gardener, and one of the things he does is he prunes his people. And what that does is it prepares the tree for another new season of greater growth and vitality and fruitfulness then. So just because this is a different season doesn't mean it's not a good season, and God can't do good things in us and through us as a church. You know, it's at the level of cliche, but it's an important reminder. We don't just go to church. We are the church. That church isn't an event. It's a people. It's a family. It's a body that gathers, and it's a body that scatters. It's a body that represents Jesus here on earth. And maybe this isn't exactly what we want it to be right now. Maybe you don't want to have to register for church. Isn't that weird? Maybe we don't want to have to limit our services to 50 people. Maybe we want to just be able to pack. Maybe that's what we want, but right now this is what we have. Maybe it's not everything we want right now, but what we do know is that sometimes the future God has for us requires us to be willing to let go of the past we enjoyed. Sometimes stepping into the glory of God, sometimes stepping into his blessings means opening up our hands, letting our leaves fall, allow him to do some pruning so that he can take us into a new season with new blessings and new work he wants to do. Did you know that the past wasn't all that good anyway? And I'm not saying there wasn't good stuff happening in our church. Like, we've seen, especially in the last 5 years, lots of growth and vitality and babies born and families developed and really cool stuff in our church. But when you look at the state of the church kind of across Canada and the U.S. for the past 40 years, if you think just about church attendance, it's been on the decline. And steeply so in the last 20 years. Some denominations have shrunk in attendance by over 60% in that time. So if all we want is to go back to the time where we can fill buildings, we might be asking to merely jump onto a ship that is slowly sinking. But maybe we can change our perspective in this season to recognize that God might be preparing us for something more, that he might be doing something new in us and through us in order to take us to a season of greater growth and vitality and fruitfulness than we've experienced in the last four decades. Because if you can't change your situation, change your perspective about that situation. Start to look at a situation with faith rather than merely looking at what we have lost over recent days. Now, we're going to talk over the next few weeks, kind of like a transitional sermon series about kind of what's going on in our church, what this new season is going to look like, a few practicals with that, but really try to inspire us to have faith in God for what he has next for us. So today in particular, we're going to talk about a new season to gather. And even though being the church is not just about gathering, the church must gather. We must get together. We must be together. It's imperative. It's vital. It's a part of being apprentices of Jesus and being the family of God. So since it's been so long since we've been able to do that, let's remind ourselves of the value and the purpose and why we even do this in the first place. And then look at some practicals about how that might look in this next season. Now, before I start, I just want to make clear, some people in our church family have decided that it is not yet time to rejoin this type of gathering. And we're okay with that. You know why? Because people have prayerfully discerned that decision based on their own vulnerabilities or vulnerabilities of people in their life that they love. And so we're not going to make judgment statements or you know, call people out for not coming back. We're just going to allow people with their own relationship with Jesus to make that decision prayerfully with him and with their community. So if that's you and you're staying home for those good reasons, we love you. You're awesome. Amazing. Keep loving Jesus. Keep loving people. But we also want to talk about how important it is to gather. And even those who are remaining away from this gathering, there's an importance in this discipline, in this practice of gathering that we'll talk about today. Now, one of the best places to look at this biblical command to gather, you can open up your Bibles or your devices to Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to look at a scripture there and jump from there. And as we kind of get into this text, we're starting in verse 19, but approaching verse 19, the author of Hebrews is kind of stating his case for the supremacy of what Christ has done, in that there was an old covenant, kind of an old way of relating to God, an old sacrificial system. There was the temple and priests and all this kind of stuff that the Old Testament saints had to go through in order to have a relationship with God and have their sins forgiven and all that. But because of what Jesus has done, the author of Hebrews is arguing, all of that has been overshadowed. It's been made redundant. Jesus is the new and living way through which we can access a relationship and access the presence of God. And so now in verse 19, he starts in to get to some practical application of what that looks like in our relationship with God, but also in our relationships with one another. So verse 19 says, therefore, because of all this, there's that transition statement. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. That is, we can confidently enter the presence of God. You can boldly, it's not like entering a throne room of a king that you may or may not be allowed to enter into. He might cut off your head if he's displeased with you at that moment. It's more like entering the presence of a dad who loves you. We can boldly come to God. Verse 20, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, stop there again. The priest in the Old Testament was the mediator. It was a human position, and only special people could have full access to God, and they had to kind of talk to God for you. But now we have Jesus, who's the mediator, and he has made access. Not only is he our mediator, but he is God himself. So we have direct access to God through Jesus. It's like he's a bridge that spanned a chasm that was previously uncrossable. So verse 22, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. So Jesus has done so much to heal our relationship with God. He's basically taken that whole Old Testament system of temple and priest and sacrifice and all the ceremonies and religious stuff, and he's made them redundant. He's replaced them with himself. So you don't need that temple, that one location on the planet where God's presence dwells. You don't need that space in order to meet with God. You don't need that human mediator to talk to God for you. You can talk to him yourself. You don't need an animal sacrifice in order to have your sins forgiven and to have a right relationship with God. Jesus is the once and for all sacrifice to make that happen. So you don't need any of this stuff to be near God or have your sins forgiven or go to heaven. You just need Jesus. Amen. So he's the temple. He's the great high priest. He's the sacrifice. He's made the way. But if you stop reading in verse 23, you might be tempted to make application in error that some people have made. And they might say, well, if I have Jesus and I don't need a temple, that means I don't need a church building to meet with God. If I have Jesus and I don't need a priest, then I don't need a pastor to meet with God. If I have Jesus and I don't need a sacrifice, and I don't really have to do all the stuff that Christians apparently are supposed to do. I can just have a personal, individual relationship with Jesus and kind of do church wherever and whenever and however I want. But the author of Hebrews actually anticipates that erroneous application and continues in verse 24. And he says, let us consider how we may spur one another on. There's a community aspect to this. Spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up on meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So yeah, you might not need the temple to be near God's presence. But you know what? Church buildings are helpful spaces to host meetings and do ministry and to serve one another and host events and serve our community. They're helpful. And you don't need a priest to talk to God for you, and you don't even need a pastor in order to have a relationship with Jesus. But you know what? Pastors are, they're helpful. The Bible says that we're just a gift. We're a part of the body of Christ. We're a gift to the church. And one of our main jobs is to equip people, help them grow in their own apprenticeship to Jesus, help them grow in their own spiritual gifts and learn how to minister and serve and be followers of Jesus. We're helpful. And we don't need an animal sacrifice to have our sins forgiven. Jesus is our once and for all sacrifice. But you know what? Romans 12 says that our bodies should be living sacrifices, which means that our whole life is an act of sacrifice to God. And part of the application of your body being a living sacrifice is that you bring your body to places God tells you to bring your body to. And if he tells you that your body should gather with other people's bodies, this is going too far. You should bring yourself to those gatherings. So you might not need all the religious stuff that the Old Testament said you needed to be close to God, but the author of Hebrews says you do need each other. You might not need a religious system, but you do need each other. There's always been temptations to neglect the regular gathering together with other believers. And today there's additional reasons. And as I said earlier, some of those are important and good and Christ-like reasons. But often our reasons to neglect gathering are more about personal preference and a lack of willingness to align our schedules and our priorities around this regular practice that God calls us to participate in. But when you read this passage from Hebrews and many others in the New Testament, we see that the purpose of gathering has very little to do with my own personal preferences, and it has very much to do with the fact that other people have needs that I can help fulfill, that you can help fulfill, that we all have a part to play in loving and serving one another. Just quickly, rapid fire, five reasons from this Hebrews passage. Number one, to encourage one another. Today, people are struggling with loneliness, sickness, anxiety, joblessness, or just having their kids at home 24/7 for the past 5 months because there's been the longest summer in history. They need encouragement. Two, to spur one another on toward love and good deeds. God has called us to be a people of good deeds, that we are to do good deeds not to earn salvation, but because we are Christians and followers of Jesus, we do good. And so together we can bring our resources together. Together we can bring our creativity together, and we can bring accountability to one another to continue to do good in our city. Three, to help each other, as Hebrews says, hold unswervingly to the hope we possess. It's easy in dark seasons to lose hope, but it's even harder to hang on to hope when you're alone. So when we come together, we can shore each other up and remind each other of the goodness of God and sing and worship together and encourage each other and bring hope to one another. Fourthly, to be reminded of God's faithfulness. Sharing personal stories and reading scriptures and coming together to say, hey, listen, God is faithful. For those who are still waiting for the fulfillment of God's promise in their life, they need others to come around them and carry them sometimes to remind them of God's faithfulness. And fifth, it says, encourage all the more as you see the day approaching. That's the day of Jesus' return. We need to help each other prepare for the day when we see Jesus face to face, whether that's the day he returns or the day you go to him. Guess what? Your day is coming, and so is mine. And Jesus' return is closer today than it ever has been before, and we need to help each other be prepared for that. So as much as it's of personal benefit and value to gather, it has so much more to do with what we bring to serve and love others in our church family. Romans 12:5 tells us, in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. You belong to each other. There's a certain ownership the rest of the family has over you, and they want you to be where they are so you can serve one another. This analogy of the body continues through the whole New Testament. Paul talks about it a lot, and in 1 Corinthians 12, he kind of has this humorous way of talking about it where he says, listen, all of you are like body parts in Christ's body. We, the community of Christ, are filled with Christ's spirit. But physically, Christ is represented through all of us working together as various parts of his body, physically together, so that the world is represented when we get along, when we take care of each other, when we represent him well. And we can't do that by ourselves. A foot can't be the entire body. An eyeball can't be the entire body. So it's only once we come together can we fully represent Christ in this world, and our own testimony of his goodness will be more valid as we do so. But if you really need one more reason why it's important to gather as a church, it's because Jesus did it every single week. Luke chapter 4, verse 16 says, Jesus went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. Jesus had a habit, a custom, a regular practice in his life of weekly worship gatherings with God's people. The local synagogue is kind of like today's local church. It was in every community on a Saturday, on the Sabbath day. The Jewish people would come together and they would worship. They would read the scriptures. They would be instructed. They would encourage one another. And early Christians and very much patterned their Sunday worship gatherings after Sabbath worship gatherings. And Jesus had this custom himself, and Jesus did ministry with a group of 12 disciples. He didn't do it alone. He needed others as much as others need you. So one of the best reasons to practice this discipline, this habit, this custom of regularly gathering is because Jesus did. And if you are an apprentice of Jesus, you will seek to live your life with the same practices and habits as Jesus did, because he taught them and modeled them as a way for all humans to flourish in the way God has designed them to flourish. Now, in this new season, obviously this looks different. And one of the reasons is, I've just told you, you should have a regular weekly habit of gathering together, but you're not allowed to come back next week. Right? So this is just a different season. What is it going to look like for us to practice this regular rhythm of gathering as a church family? It's going to take additional effort. It's going to take additional intentionality. And that is the key. Intentionality in this season is what is required. So of course, Sundays, we're going to be gathering here again. We're excited we can launch that again. And hopefully in days to come, we don't know when, but Lord willing, numbers will be able to increase and we'll get closer and closer back to where we were. We just don't know the timeline on that. And if you can come twice a month, maybe, great. That'd be awesome. You have the live stream at home during this service. People are watching right now. But here's what we want from those who are watching the live stream, whether it's you guys next week or you guys this week or as we go on in this in perpetuity. We don't want you to watch the Sunday service like you watch Netflix. We don't want you to just grab a snack and sit on your lazy boy and watch and not participate. And one of the best ways to maximize that experience of that live stream is to do it with others. And I'm not just talking like your spouse, your family, but have someone over. Go to someone's house. Have an intentional gathering. So if you can't be in a group of 50, but you have some people in your bubble, get together with them on a regular basis and actually have a little church service in your home rather than just an individual, independent viewing experience. You hear what I'm saying? Intentionality, thinking ahead, planning ahead. Our life groups are starting. And so if you're in a life group and it plans to meet, that's awesome. I'm glad that's happening. Although normally at this time of year, we expand our life group ministry. We try to get a bunch of new members into life groups, but it's just not going to work that way this year for obvious reasons. So if you have a life group and it's going to happen, great. That's exciting. If you don't, again, you know what you can do? You can just start one. You can just grab another family or two in your bubble and just intentionally meet regularly, every Tuesday night or every second Thursday. Maybe you can meet on Sunday morning for the live stream or save it and watch it Wednesday night together and have your discussion right after. One of the things we always do is we prepare a study guide based on the sermon, and it has the notes of the sermon and extra questions and scriptures to look up and points of application. They're all hanging up in the lobby, and I want every single person to take one home today as you leave. So you can get together with someone and have your own little life group and work through that and bring application and just be intentional about that gathering. So these are just suggestions, but this is the big idea. Intentionality is the key. Gather with some kind of regularity. Develop a custom, a new habit, a new practice for this new season. So how will you practice the spiritual discipline of gathering in this new season? Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. How are you going to do that? And not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, what will gathering look like for you in this new season? But encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Jesus is coming soon. Now, in a few minutes, we're going to pray together. And one of the things we're going to do in the in-person gathering is kind of after the live feed ends, those left in the room, we're going to spend just a few minutes having some corporate prayer, just lifting one another up. It's one of the things we want to do with those who are able to come on Sundays. But before I do so, I just want to kind of share an image. I shared it earlier in the summer just through an email. But if you didn't read that, or even if you did, it bears repeating. You know, COVID-19 has created confusion, controversy, panic, all kinds of weird stuff has come out of this. And in some ways, COVID-19 isn't just a virus that some people are getting, but it's almost like there's a virus that the whole world has caught. And there's all these symptoms that are manifesting. All this stuff is kind of coming to the surface. The world is sick, and we need healing. And we don't know what the prognosis is going to be. It's unclear. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what the world is going to look like 5 years from now, let alone 2 weeks from now. It's all in God's hands. You know, one of the things that happens in a lot of people's lives is at some point you get just like a scary diagnosis. You get a cancer diagnosis or some other chronic illness diagnosed in your body. And at that point, I'm sure you meet with your doctor or your specialist and you sit down and kind of talk through what's going to happen. And this is just my opinion. Maybe you think differently, but if I were in that situation, I were sitting down with my doctor, I wouldn't want my doctor to be all arrogant and be like, I know exactly why this happened and I know exactly how this is going to turn out. Because with all due respect to medical professionals, they don't know everything. There's a lot of mystery out there. And so for them to sound confident like that, I'd be skeptical. So in my opinion, the best doctors would sit me down and say, listen, there's all kinds of different variables as to why this might have happened. But that doesn't really matter right now because it did happen. What matters is thinking about how you're going to deal with it. And in my professional opinion, there's a few different outcomes that could occur. It could be this, this could happen, that could happen, or this. But in the end, we're not totally sure. But here's what I'd want my doctor to say. I'd want my doctor to say, no matter what happens, I can guarantee you one thing. I'll be with you the whole way through. And you know what? As your pastor, I'm not going to pretend that I know why all this is happening and what's behind it and what exactly, you know, should be done or shouldn't be done. I've never gone through this before. None of us have. And as much as myself and our leadership are working on contingencies and planning and thinking about the different things that could happen in the future or could not happen in the future, we want to be ready for anything. It could be this, it could be that, it could be this, it could be that. We just don't know. But I can guarantee you one thing. I'll be with you through it all. I'll be here. We're in this together. And I can guarantee you another thing. God's been with us the whole time. And he'll be with us to the end. And he has good things in mind for us. And we believe and we know that in all things, God is working for our good, but not just for our good, but through us for the good of the world that he loves, if we let him. We are in this together. The question is, will we be there for each other? Will we stick together as God is sticking with us? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much. You are so good. You are so faithful. God, and you are always working, even in seasons where we don't see it or we don't feel it, Lord. We know that you're working and you're working for our good, but not just for our good, but through us for the good of others that you love so deeply. And God, we desire to see your kingdom come and your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. And that's not less possible because of current events. It's always been possible, Lord, for those who believe. And so God, just have your way. Jesus, come. Holy Spirit, come and do a work in this new season. Do a new thing. Make us moldable clay in your hands so that we can be who you've called us to be in this time in history. God, we just trust you with all things. So God, help us just to grow in our capacity to love one another, in our desire to serve one another, to truly be the body of Christ, maybe in a way we've never been before. Help us, Lord, to prayerfully discern what gathering will look like for us in this new season, with a combination of in-person and online and groups and meeting together. Lord, just help us be intentional and find that new rhythm, that new habit, that custom we need as you shape us into the image of your Son, Jesus. God, we just give you all these things and trust that you will take them and work and lead us. And Lord, help us to follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.